Good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to Meet Me at the Diner, your host, Ann Ella. Our special guest today is Michael Gaskin, the director of the Greenwood County First Steps. Here is your host, live from Sharp Faces Gallery, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right, Andy. I am here with Michael Gaskin. It is good to have you here, Michael. We had you back here during the political season, and now we're back here talking about First Steps. And what's that other program? Real Fathers
Are Dads.
That's
Real
right.
Fathers Are Dads.
And that's a program actually you came up with, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I'm 3 years old. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, 3 years in the last month. And the reason why we came up with that program, when I say we, because I don't want to take full responsibility without giving my cohort, Angela Pruitt in Abbeville, credit, because she's the one that challenged me about the program. She said, what you going to do? And I said, well, I'll show you what I'll do. And I came up with Real Fathers Are Dads because when we talk about children and early childhood education, some reason we forget about the fathers. So the fathers need to take responsibility. And that's one of the things that the Real Fathers Are Dads do, is to work with the fathers to get them more involved in the lives of their children.
Well, you know, I think one of the things I know that you are passionate about is the fact that we as individuals need to take the word responsibility.
Yes.
And, you know, just what do you mean by that, responsibility?
Well, responsibility, by definition, means that your ability to respond. And there's two ways I look at it. Number one, accept responsibility, such as I accept the fact that I have three children, three sons and a daughter. But when I take responsibility, I am saying that I'm going to raise those three sons and a daughter. So that's the difference to me between accepting and taking. Taking is I'm going to go siege this opportunity to do something. And that's what we need to do. I don't care what avenue that we look at, whether it's government, whether it's education, whether it's in the family, whether it's doing our jobs, whatever job it is, we need to take responsibility for doing it, our ability to respond.
And in our society today, this is just a generalization now, we see a lot that don't take that responsibility, and I think that's part of the reason that we're in the pickle that we're in today.
Exactly. I agree wholeheartedly with you. That for some reason we have accepted the easy way out in life. We want stuff given to us. I'm going to tell you something I say at my fatherhood workshops. If I could just get rid of the word hard work, it seemed like when we hear those words, our young folk go run, and some of our adults do too. But nothing worth having is easy to have. I mean, you have to do the work. And if we just could get our young folk and older folk to just understand that when we take responsibility and really put our hearts into it, we end up with very good results every single time. I don't know anyone who has really taken responsibility and ended up with bad results.
Well, I'm sure there is one or two.
Who's counting?
Who's counting? But the very fact is, and these are the things, these are the issues, and, you know, we talk about teenage pregnancy. We talk about kids having kids. We talk about, kids having a child, I mean, young people having children, and then they have another child in order to be able to get the benefits that are out there. These are the things, they don't help the child, and they certainly don't help the person having the child.
Exactly, and it's hard-pressed to think that a child can raise a child. I mean, that just doesn't make a lot of sense. But just because you're a teen mother or a teen father, it does not indicate that you're going to be a bad parent, because we do have young mothers and young fathers who are taking responsibility, but they're so few and far, you know, between. In between there. You know, it's sad. But the sad case of it is, it's no matter the age, if a parent does not take responsibility, that's going to trickle down to the child usually not taking responsibility. Because who is the child's first teacher? The parent.
We forget that, don't we?
Yes.
That parents are the first teachers. They're the teachers for life, actually.
Exactly.
I mean, I look at how hard my parents worked and everything, and I'm addicted to work. I'll go ahead and say it.
I think I am, too.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But what we really need to focus on is some sort of way to get our parents to realize the importance of them just raising your child. Because stop and think about it. What is one of the major problems we have in the education system? It's discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Whose responsibility is it?
Well, it's the school.
It's not the teacher.
Wait a minute. It's the school's responsibility. That's why we have the resource officers there, and we have children getting in Texas. I heard a story about in Texas. They take these little kids that can't even concentrate and everything, and they're saying, okay, we're taking you to court. Six, seven, eight-year-old.
No. let me tell you something. I'm so glad you have me here. There's no such thing as a bad child.
Okay.
Okay? They're only
sure?
bad. They're bad parents.
Okay.
See, a child does not come out bad.
Okay.
That is impossible. When a child is born, they don't come out with nunchucks, doing karate, and shooting guns, and not going to school.
I guess you could say they're a blank tablet. They're that PC that hasn't been programmed
right.
yet.
Right. They're CD-ROM.
Right.
Right. And what you put into that child's brain, that determines how that child will be. And let me be honest with you. I'm not putting any parents down, but if you don't know what to put in, what did you expect?
It's kind of like your computer. If you can't program the computer, you got problems, don't
that's
you?
That's right.
Yeah?
And then we have so many viruses.
Yes.
You know, the viruses is all these outside entities and outside forces that come in and make our children, that assist our children making choices, because everybody have the right to make their own choice. Let's be honest.
Sure.
Children make choices.
Right.
And when they make a choice, we know that usually they're going to follow the leader.
Right.
You know, whoever is dominant.
Right.
That's what bothers me so much about in the classroom. One child in a class of 30 can disrupt that entire classroom, so 29 other children will not receive an education or appropriate education because of this one child. And why is this child acting out? It's because they did not receive training / discipline at home. It's not the parents, it's not the teacher's job to discipline children.
Well, unfortunately, I think a lot of people, though, Michael, believe that the schools, the teacher, they should learn this stuff here, and they're not responsible for that.
Right. And then once again, they're not taking responsibility for raising their children. Let's be honest. What's the best child care in the world? The best child care in the world is wake up in the morning, give your child a Pop-Tart, and put them on the bus and send them to school. At least you know from 8 to 3:30 where they are. And that's what people look at. A lot of folk look at our school system as an opportunity.
Babysitters.
Now, listen to this. If those children from 8 to 3:30 go to school and they have not done one single thing constructive, what do we think they are doing? Do you think they're going in there and just sitting down and listening? No, they are acting out. And that is the reason why a lot of our children is not being educated at the rate that they should be. Because there's so much disruption. We should praise our teachers. We should give them, you know, the lottery money. We should make sure they get big pay raises. I'm not just saying that. Can you imagine being in a classroom with 30 children who has decided that we're going to let Johnny over here run this classroom? When he want to laugh, he tells a joke. When he want to act up, he stops everything. And that teacher has to be responsible. And actually, her job depends on that one child acting correctly. And then if she suspends him,
yes.
Well, then it really starts then, because who's the first person up there raising sand?
The parents.
There you go.
Hey, we're here with Michael Gaskin. He's wound up today, and I'm glad, because we're going to be right back. Don't you go away.
Friday, happy days, the weekend.
Gold dust at my feet, on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6276.
You're here with us at Meet Me at That Diner with host Ann Eller. Special guest Michael Gaskin with the Greenwood County First Steps. Here is your host. Hello, Ann.
Well, we haven't even got to talk about First Steps yet, because we're just wound up talking about Number one, how we can keep our kids in school, I think. Number two, the discipline aspect of it. And three, how do we get back to those really core values is really what we're talking mm-hmm. about. You know, it wasn't too many years ago. Well, maybe it's longer than I think, but I can remember when I went to school. Yeah, it was a long time ago, Ann. That when the teacher said something, you didn't question it. This is what you did. If the teacher said, all right, let's everybody sit down, take out a pencil, everybody sat down and took out a pencil and got either prepared to take a test, take notes, or do whatever. And what happened to that, and it was because I'd been brought up to say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, this is what we got going on here, okay, I'm agreeable.
And, you know, I'm going to walk into this avenue. When I grew up, at first, when I started school, there was still integration, mm-hmm. you know, where it wasn't integration. The teachers, my teachers, I knew. They was in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
They went to church. Some of them went to church with us. So it was very easy to say, Michael not doing well in school
mm-hmm.
or whatever. When integration came, I think what's happened, and this is just Mike Gaskin's opinion, is that people got so worried about race that they forgot about education. And then I think now so much is focused on the athletic child and the honor child, you know, because let's be honest, probably 5% of a student body is in the honors group.
Mm-hmm.
The other 95% is probably below. And what we really need to do is find a way to really reach that 95% because that 5% is doing well. But some kind of way, and the most important way to change this 95% problem is for parents to take responsibility for educating their children. Now, when does education start? It does not start when the child get their first book bag and a new haircut and the new sneakers with the new blue jeans with a pretty little shirt on and go to class, go to school. That is not the start of education. Education starts when the child is conceived. And if the mother doesn't take care of herself, and the fathers, I got to make the fathers responsible too, doesn't help to make the mother's life comfortable, mm-hmm. then the child gonna have problems. So if the mother do not read to the child probably gonna have problems.
Mm-hmm.
So the education starts at the prenatal stage. So that's what we need to do, target in education at the prenatal stage. Then we'll find out that we won't have any problems when the child starts 4K. Then we'll find out that the child will not have any problems when they start to school. But in between all of that, we have to have discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Discipline and education are brothers and sisters. You can't have one without the other. They actually are brothers and sisters that are twins.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have education without discipline. You can't have discipline without education. We have to understand that.
And the Army actually survives on that, doesn't it?
As the Army, the Air Force, and Navy,
yeah.
Marines.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing how the military can take, let's just say, 100 young men and women from all across the nation with different values, with different morals, and they grew up different ways, and 6 to 8 weeks, they can have them functioning as one unit.
How do they do it, Michael?
Discipline.
Well, then we should be able to do that in our schools.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. But let me tell you, it doesn't start at school. It starts at home. And that's why we need programs like First Steps, because some of the parents do not know how to be parents. So we go into the home and work with the parents and the child to help their parenting skills so that they can understand that there is a proper way to get your child ready for the educational process. In other words, there is a way to make sure your child becomes successful.
Sure. And actually, that is just so true. If the Army or the Navy or whatever military can do it, surely we can do it on our level. But you're right. And actually, what's happened is, I think, for how long? We have just looked the other way and let our children just grow. And they've grown into adults, and now they're having children, and they don't know how to raise them.
And what I've found through Greenwood County First Steps and working with Abbeville and working with Real Fathers or Dads and a new program, Real Mothers or Moms, that we're putting in place, is that, believe it or not, mothers want, as well as fathers, want to see their children do well. But sometimes they just don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
How did they learn to be parents? Stop and think about it. If the only thing you ever did, when you did something wrong, your child, your parents kung fu'd you, hit you in the head, smack you in the mouth, and then when you have a child and your child do wrong, what do you think you're going to do?
Kung fu him.
Ah, kung fu him with a high karate kick. You
know? That's true.
But we have to change that, and we can't. And I'll be honest with you, it's easy to change it in Greenwood. Probably easier to change it in Abbeville because it's a smaller population.
Sure.
But what we have to do, and we have to realize something in Greenwood County, that if one child is not educated, that can create problems for every single person in this county. Because what is this child who decides they can't find a job, decide to go on a stealing spree?
Right.
So they comes into shops and they steal.
Right.
And then if they go to jail, who pays for it?
We do.
So if we go ahead and invest in early childhood education and get to the point of saying that we are doing this for Greenwood County and for the state of South Carolina and for the United States of America, that'll be a one-time investment. So when we get ready to cut taxes and all that good stuff, it will make more sense that way.
You know, I think you're onto something here, Michael, but the problem is, how do we get there? Now, First Steps, of course, is an organization, like you said, that teaches parents how to be parents, works with the children. There's been a lot of studies that say that if a child is not on a good reading level by age 6, 7, something like that, or 4?
4.
Okay, that they're constantly trying to play catch-up.
Right.
And it's difficult.
The most dangerous game in the world is for a child to play the game of catch-up. Because, as we know, time never stops, mm-hmm. and that the teachers can't just sit there and give individual instructions. It's just not happening.
Right.
So once a child comes to school already behind, eventually when they get to take the test in the third grade, it indicates that they are behind. And that the game of catch-up is too far gone, because by the time they're in the third grade and we indicate that they are behind, they're already, 9 years behind?
Mm-hmm.
But I have a way, and I've been working with this, and I have brought it up a couple of times to people who could make a difference. And I want to see, and I'm going to share it with you all today, that First Steps was created for the purpose to fill gaps in early childhood education and to focus on children 0 to 6 years old. Well, like with a lot of entities today, you know, everybody is taking cuts, and First Steps have been cut tremendously since it was established. But if First Steps could focus on children 0 to 3,
mm-hmm.
or let's make it 0 to 2.
Okay.
And then GLEAMS, which is early Head Start,
right.
You know, and Head Start, focus on children 3 to 4. Then the school district picks them up 5 years old to first grade. Now we can start putting mechanisms and assessments in place to identify problems with the child and the parent as early as possible. So from 0 to 3, if we know that this child arrived at 4 year old is not ready, First Steps ain't their job.
Right.
Let's find out what the problem, let's fix it. If the child arrives to the K-5 not ready, but left 3 years old ready, we know that there's a problem in early Head Start and Head Start. I think that's the way we can save money. That's the way we can find problems early and fix them. Now, if you find a problem early, what do you do? Do you still let the child come to school Monday through Friday? Of course you do. But then they have to go on Saturday, too.
Whoa. Saturday school.
That's right. And know what? When they don't come by themselves, the parents have to come with them.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, we are here with Michael Gaskin. We just had a comment come in here, Michael. You knew you were going to get some of those today. And, of course, if you want to call, don't hesitate, 229-7984. Give us a call. Let's go ahead and tackle this question before we hear South Carolina news. Do you think students that are labeled at risk in school should be required as a family to participate in this program? Do you think students that are labeled at risk in school should be required as a family to participate in this program?
In First Steps or in school. But I do think that at-risk children should be in school. See, there's only 3 ways to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Audio, visual, and calisthenic. And what we need to do, if a child is not wanting to learn, mm-hmm. and not learning well, that's probably because they're not being taught in the way that they learn best. Now, we all learn in three different ways, but we learn best in one of those three ways. So I think what we need to do is focus on that. I think another thing with discipline, and I think this ties in with the same question, is if a parent who works from 7 to 7 and their child is having a problem in school and the guidance counselor say, you need to come in, when can they come to see the guidance counselor? Well, do they have to take leave if they have it?
Right.
My thing of it is, what we need to do is be smart. We know that in this area that most families are working 12-hour shifts.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make it so that the guidance counselor can be available. So the guidance counselor, we don't want them working 12-hour shifts, but we need to be able to work a way to make them available, whether it's to pay them extra, whether it's to have sessions on Saturdays or
right.
whatever. We need to be, because that's the way you got, in order to instill discipline, it has to be consistent. And in order for it to be consistent, that child has to realize, no matter what I do, somebody is watching me, kind of like community parenting.
Right, community parenting. All right. Hey, I tell you what, we're going to have to hear South Carolina news, a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back. We are here with Michael Gaskin. He is the director of Greenwood County's First Step program, but I think he's a whole lot more here, folks. He's wound up. I'm excited. We're going to be back. Don't you go away. Give us a call, 229-7984.
What does WLMA stand for? Well, it stands for Wow, Let's Meet Again, right here on 1350 AM, Greenwood and the Lakelands News Talk radio station.
Welcome back to Meet Me at the Diner. Host Ann Eller, special guest Michael Gaskin, the director of the Greenwood County First Step. Here is your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We're back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. I have a very special guest here today, Michael Gaskin. He is the director for Greenwood County for First Step. We've been talking about so much more, though, because First Steps, I think, part of the whole essence of it is taking responsibility, and parents have to be involved in their child if that child is going to grow up and be successful unto their own selves, but also not to be a burden on society, that they can contribute to society. And it all starts a whole lot younger, I think, than we probably as individuals ever thought.
Right. And as we said earlier, you know, education started at the prenatal stage. Just imagine, if the mother's not taking care of herself, then the child may grow with low birth weight,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the hindrances of a child being productive or growing up.
Or drugs,
right?
Or that mother on drugs.
Exactly.
Yep.
And we don't understand that about 90% of the brain, of a child's brain, is developed by the time they're 4 years old. And so they're going to start learning at first grade?
No, I don't think so, then. No,
it's at the prenatal stage. And then the social and emotional development of a child is so critical. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. Saturday, I witnessed something that really hurt me. A child was attempting to learn, and the mother was saying, if you don't pick your name out, then I'm going to take this toy away from you, because it was like a little computer game. And I was sitting there, and another gentleman was sitting beside me, and we both came to the conclusion after she left that how sad that was, because the child was just attempting to learn. But the mother was spending more time on the phone, on the cell phone, than she was paying attention to this child. And maybe the child didn't even know that her name was Jenna, because I was listening, and that she needed to learn that the J makes the J sound. But mom was sitting there talking to Henry, who was asking, can I come over? You know, just listening. But that's what we need to realize, that, again, they're taking responsibility. And parents, you know, I've yet to know a child that just pop up. They don't happen. You know, you don't say, hey, I want a child, here it is. You know, you have to go through stages, and once you take the responsibility for having a child, you need to take the responsibility for raising the child.
That's right. Now, what does exactly First Steps program, what does it do for those that aren't familiar with First Steps?
When First Steps started in 1999, it started with the sole purpose to fill gaps in early childhood education.
Was this a federal program or a state?
It's a state. Governor Hodges in 1999 signed it. But there are so many states that has a program similar. Smart Start is in North Carolina, and Georgia has one, too.
Okay.
But anyway, it has five focuses. It has family strengthening. It has a child care focus. It has a school transition. It has the I did say family strengthening, didn't
right,
I?
Right, family strengthening, you did.
I'm losing healthy start and early education. But right now, was we started off in Greenwood with $767,240. That was our state allocation.
In 1999?
In 2001, when it started spending. Now we are at $231,000.
Well, we can get rid of that program.
Yes, ma'am.
Why don't we just get rid of that one?
Well, if we receive any more cuts, it'd probably be the smart thing to do, because we won't be able to function to do the things that we need to do in Greenwood County and other counties across the state, because each state has the first steps. We won't be able to do the programs that we need to do with the little money that we have.
How many children are in this program here in Greenwood now?
Right now, and I'm going to give you, I'm going to read
roughly
off to you what we did in 2009. We had a joint child care training that we do every year at Lander. We had 325 participants. We gave out over 4,000 books in that year. We served over 13 Latino families, 187 children with the same program on parents as teachers. We did over 1,511 home visits, and our child care training all together would affect about 8,300 children.
8,300.
Yes, 8,300 children.
Children.
So the focus of it is to deal with children, low-income families.
Mm-hmm.
That's the focus of First Steps. But we also deal with any family that, because we just have to do that, because no child should experience anything other than a great education. But First Steps is established for that reason, to fill gaps in early childhood education. But right now, the programs that we have in Greenwood County, we have our Parents as Teacher program. That's when we go into the homes at least twice a month to work with the mother and the child to increase the mother parenting skills and get the child ready for school. We have our...
How do you do that, Michael? I mean, I know a lot of parents that, you know, I've seen situations and you feel like saying, excuse me, you know, I don't think you should be doing that. And what are you saying? That's my child.
Right. Well,
you know, how do you deal with that in a family situation?
Well, Parents as Teachers is a national program and everything is set up. So if you have a child that's 2 years old and let's say 2 weeks, we already have the layout for it. And you just work with the child. But it's more to it than that. A home visitor actually you have to establish a relationship with the family, and you have to get comfortable to be able to say, you know, Miss Geraldine, you can't do that, really. But I think the model in itself, and what we'd also do, I know I'm jumping a little
That's
bit,
okay.
but one of the things we do, we videotape
okay.
the parent and child interaction. Now, a lot of the parents cannot believe, oh, God, I can't believe I did that. But once you get comfortable and everybody, you know, you just start acting instead of worrying about what you look like, and then you actually get to see what you're doing and not doing and how it affects the child. You know, sometimes we just want to throw, we want the child to do what we want to do instead of giving the child the opportunity to learn, because a child learns through play.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to let the child kind of initiate how they want to learn when it comes to playing, instead of saying, no, you play with this truck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to let the child engage himself into his learning process.
And what kind of success are you having with this? This program, then, is going on 10 years?
Yes.
What kind of success are you seeing in this program, Michael?
Well,
truth. Pie in the sky
I won't do the thing that most people do. They want to throw numbers at
you. Sure.
I've watched, through our fatherhood program, I watched a young man who came in and was having a humongous amount of problems in his concerns in his life. I'm not going to call them problems, but now he's married, has custody of his child, and he comes to parenting. One of the things that I look at when it comes to measuring success, now I can do numbers and show success, but what has really changed? What I've seen is children happier. I've seen parents happier. Those are measurements that we don't, you know, take account of.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've seen mothers are interacting more with their children. Now, let's be realistic. Okay. Let's just say if we was looking at it from a work standpoint, there's 160 work hours in a month.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone is in a negative environment and they only get 2 hours of positive enforcement, what difference are we really making?
Not a lot.
Unless The parent takes responsibility. And that's what we focus on mostly, is getting a parent to take responsibility so that we can assist you in getting your child ready for school. So if we think that going and serve 20 families and they don't take responsibility and we're making a difference, no, we just have outputs. We don't have outcomes.
Right.
All we have is numbers. Yes, home visitor made 20 visits, made it twice a month, and this is what we did, and don't we look good? But the thing of it is having those outcomes. Did the child learn? Is the parent a better parent? Is the child ready for school?
Have you been able to follow any of the children that have had the benefit of First Steps from 10 years ago, 5 years ago?
Yes. Personally, yes. And
okay.
Also from the standpoint of our data, it shows that First Steps is making a humongous difference. Now, what is humongous? Depends on who's saying it. But First Steps is making a difference. School readiness has changed. I think when I started with First Steps, we was at 48 nationally in education. And I think First Steps has helped, assisted, along with the other entities in getting children ready for school. Now we have 45th. We're 45,
right.
So it is making a difference.
But it's not an overnight process.
No. But it can be. No,
it can't be overnight.
No, it can't be overnight.
Then, you know, and then I guess we would want to look at, do we have parents that are now taking responsibility for having more children? You know, are they looking at it and saying, I need to make sure I can afford to take care of and be responsible for my child?
I think more mothers are having more. They are more single mothers,
right?
And I think a lot of them is because they want to be single mothers and can't afford to be single mothers.
Okay.
You got to remember, our divorce rate is for every two marriages is a divorce. So
that's 50%, Michael.
So there's a lot of being married is kind of scary, but anyway,
yes.
There's a lot of mothers out here now that want to be, you know, want to be a single parent.
Yes.
But one of the things that we do know, and we go back to what we said earlier, how did I learn to be the person that I am? If all I learned was to use the system, and now I'm a system master, so it's going to be hard for you to push me away from being a system master. Unless you prepare me, help me, and assist me on being something other than a system master. I hope that makes a little sense there.
Sure.
But I think that's what happens sometimes. I'm only going to do what I know that I'm comfortable at doing.
Sure.
But if somebody take the time out and get involved and show me that there is a way out,
mm-hmm.
then more than likely people will take that avenue. And I think more than just First Steps, I think more than just the school district, I think our churches have a responsibility in their role as well.
So when we come back, we're going to talk about that. So don't you go away. This is WLMA right here in Greenwood with Michael Gaskin.
Friday, happy days. The weekend comes. My cycle hums.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
You're with us at Meet Me at the Diner. Host Ann Eller, special guest Michael Gaskin from Greenwood County. First Step, here is your host, Ann Eller.
You know, Michael, the more we talk about First Steps, it seems it's not always the first steps of the child that we're talking about. We're talking about the first steps for a lot of adults, or young adult parents, but young adults that they've gotten themselves in a fix, and they've got to take those first steps before they can even think about the first steps for their child, or at the same time they're doing it.
There's old cliche, and that is to say, those who do not have a plan are just planning to fail. Now, we look at that from the standpoint of a young person who do not have a plan. Let's just imagine that they want an education, but they don't have a plan. Let's imagine that they was living in Ware Shoals, and they want to go to school at Piedmont Tech. They really want to go to school. And they are fired up and ready to go, quote-unquote, but then they don't have transportation. Let's just imagine that they have three children, but they don't have child care. They want to go to school, but they do not have a computer. So what we have to do is help these people, young and middle age and older, establish plan, because you're not going to be successful unless you have a plan.
And you can't really just hand this out and say, here's the computer, here's the car, here's the child care, there, go ahead and go to school.
Just imagine if you handed out the computer and they say, oh, we're going to help you go to school, here's the computer, but they can't even get there.
Yeah.
And then let's just imagine you give them a car and they got a computer, and then they don't even have child care. And then let's imagine you give them a computer, you give them a car, you give them child care, and then how are they going to pay for child care? I mean, they have to have a plan. And if you do not have a plan, you have just planned to fail. And I take a lot of that comes with a lot of the programs that we have. We have programs, but we don't have planning. So how in the world are we going to make a difference if we don't have a plan? We have a plan for the program. We don't have a plan for the client.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I don't think you can say much more than that. I mean, Michael, I mean, you are, I guess that comes from your military training, I'd say. Being clear, concise, and focused.
That's my father and mother.
Yeah.
And I call him my aunt, my cousin Effie Mae.
Yeah.
That's the way we handle things. We stay focused. And, you know, don't make excuses. Any Tom, Dick, or Harpo can make an excuse.
You're right.
But it takes a person, a real person, is a person that comes up with solutions. And it does not have to be right. At least you're attempting to make a solution. Not trying, because you can't measure try. You're attempting to make to find a solution, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree. I mean, I hate to hear, at work, I'm sorry, the word I hate to hear, I'm trying.
Can't measure it.
You know, I'm doing it. You're either doing it or you're not doing
that's
it.
That's right.
That's my philosophy.
That's not just do it.
That's right.
Just do it.
I guess that's why we have such a good time talking.
Yeah, and I really enjoy it.
All right, we had a call in from a gal who is Amika. She is unemployed, and she has two children, ages 2 and 4. And she says you can't work with a child very well if you can't read. She lives in the Gage Street area. She said it's hard to move forward if I can't read. We provide translators for Spanish. Why not for the illiterate?
Okay. First, a translator for Spanish, we have to have that. We have a community now that's pretty largely Hispanic. So we need to have translators. But there is a way that you can still do everything you possibly can to get your child ready for school. And some of it, you know, like, I'm going to tell you this, and it's just the truth, is that if I had a book, and that's just a brown bear, if I'm reading to my child at a prenatal stage, the child will know the words. If I'm reading to a child at 1 year old, the child doesn't know the words. What you can do is just make up the story. You know, kind of like what we used to do when we was young. We'll make up a story. Not a lie, but a story, you know. But the thing of it is, we have programs out here. We have a GED program over at Genesis. I know we have a literacy program. I know there are programs out here to help. And I hope this young lady, if it's her, I think it is that she was saying that she does.
Right.
I hope she do. But I tell you what, if she called me, and I'm going to give you my number, 388-4102, I guarantee you we will help you.
All right, Amika, you just heard that. What's that number again?
388-4102.
All right, you need to call Michael Gaskin here and get with the program, help yourself, but also help your children.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
So sometimes I think a lot of people don't realize that they need help. I think some parents think that they're doing okay.
And it's because, you know, I'm going to say this. I got it. Okay. I remember one time, this is a true story. I was in Arkansas. And an older gentleman told me, he said, you know, my child is way smarter than I. He said, when I was 12 years old, I had problems counting to 100. He's 10, and he can count to 100. Now, look at the measurement that he has for his child.
Right.
Because he's saying this child is smarter than him because at 12, he had problems counting to 100, but this child can count at 10, so he said he's doing good. But shouldn't that child have been counting the 100 probably in the first grade? You see what I'm saying? And that it's not no put down on the
no,
gentleman's part.
Absolutely not.
It's just that's what he's looking at. His child is doing better than him.
Sure.
And you know what?
And there was a time, Michael. I think there was a time where if our children did better than we were before the computer age, before the internet, that was good.
Exactly.
And we had factory jobs that when kids graduated from high school, that they could go right to work in the factory. But the thing about it is, the world has changed.
Yes. But has it? Because we still think that a child is doing well because they're playing football or basketball or being rolled up in the papers as a potential to go pro. But let me tell you this. Tell me, what is a person with $10 million and no education?
The person that's probably spending it and doesn't know what to do with it.
They are broke.
Yes.
It's just a matter of time.
Yep, that's right.
It's just a matter of time. And that's what we need to always tell people. Use sports. Don't let sports use you. And I guarantee you that everybody feel more enriched when they have an education. Now, is education going to guarantee you a job? Ladies and gentlemen, no. You can get all the education you want. I know people have PhDs that are looking for jobs. I know lawyers, doctors.
Sure.
But the thing of it is, you have more options by having an adequate education.
And having a can-do attitude.
That's right.
I mean, I think I think that plays into it, too. People
right.
that have this, I'm going to go out and do it, quite often do better than those that say, I
That's
have
right.
all the education, hire me, pay me the big bucks.
That's right.
Yeah.
And please don't think that you're going to keep a job because you're worried about how much money you're going to make. You know, if you're only worried about the dollar, you eventually lose your job.
That's true.
You have to have a passion.
That's
you
right.
have to love what you do, and you have to work hard.
And it seems like, Michael Gaskin, you have a passion for what you do.
I do.
And, you know, we didn't really have a time to, we didn't get it. We kind of got off on a tangent here. It's been a lot of fun. It's been great. We will have to have you back because the other program that you have is Real Fathers or Dads. That's a program that's bringing the man back to part of the family. You know, we're talking so much about single women having children and everything, but it really takes two people to raise children.
Well, and it takes two people to have children.
Yep, it does.
You know, it does. And again, you know, one of the problems in Greenwood is young ladies having children. How about the young men having multiple children?
Oh, my gosh.
How about the young man is the father of multiple children from different women and not paying child support and not being there with a child and we saying that, oh, golly, we doing better. At what?
At producing more children?
That's right, baby.
There you go. Well, I hate to say it, but we are out of time. Michael Gaskin, we will have to have you back again. It, as always, is a pleasure to sit down and talk to you. Thanks for coming in today. This is WLMA right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. Thanks so much, Michael, for being here.
Thank you, Ann, and thanks for having me.
All right. Bye-bye, Andy.
Bye, Ann.